We sing the song sometimes that God has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. God uses us for His purpose. The saving of souls of men and women, and He has entrusted us with the gospel. He's not going to do it some mysterious way beyond our comprehension. He's not going to send angels down to do the work, but He has put that responsibility on you and me. So we got a big chore, we got a big task to tell others about Jesus Christ. We have a meeting coming up, as was announced this morning and announced on other occasions, beginning April 21st. Now we can make that meeting a glorious meeting if we'll just set those nights aside to come, make every effort to come. I go into meetings at times, brethren, and members take off on their vacations. That is, they take the time off from their jobs for vacations and use it to work in the meeting. I've gone to other places and brethren took off somewhere, podunk or bug tussle or wherever, to enjoy their week. And I know there's some exceptions in all of that, and you can't make an ironclad rule for everything. But this should be a united, concerted effort on our part to have one of the greatest meetings of all time. Let's have a revival. There's nothing wrong with that word. We sing the song, Revive Us Again, and there's nothing wrong with calling the meeting a revival. Reviving the hearts of men and women, members of the church, as well as aliens out here, revive their interest in the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them to Calvary for the saving of their soul. And let's come, tell others about it, bring people with us, and make that special effort. I like to see us grow. We lose members by moving away. We're down. It's obvious that we're down when we look at the board over here. And people have come and gone from the base out here. Good members that we've lost over the last year are better. One family moved to preach over, and he did over in Illinois. And we haven't replaced all of those. We've got to do that. We've got to be busy, involved, of trying to convert souls in order to perpetuate the congregation here. And so let's make the effort to influence somebody that we know to Christ, or invite him to church. And some of you are passing out tracts. A member here, a sister here, asked me the other day, in fact last Wednesday or last Sunday, I forget which, about a couple tracts back there. And some of those tracts, brethren, are just too much initially for somebody to receive. He's not ready to eat that yet. It's too strong for him. And we got to use judgment of what we pass out. And sometimes we get the cart before the horse. That we want to pass out something doctrinally controversial before we ever get to the first principles. I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying that some do it in the church. And we need to take first things first and introduce them to the rudimentary things of the gospel and try to teach them what the Lord requires and authority and where we go for our answer, and then lead them from there. And so let's all be involved in the work of the church. Now tonight, I direct your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm reading verse 10, where Paul makes this statement. according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, or as an architect, or as an engineer, one who's skillful. I have laid the foundation, that is, at Corinth, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And that's what I'm talking to you tonight about. Take heed how we build. Now, there's a need for this exhortation. As we look in the context, we see, first of all, that he gave this exhortation because of the existing conditions that were prevalent at Corinth. He starts in verse 1 and says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." They were thinking like men and acting like men, worldly rather than spiritual. And he says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." So they were immature as babes in Christ. And they were unable to appreciate and grasp the deeper things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what did he mean in this particular statement? That they couldn't be fed the meat, but the milk. Did he mean that there are two sets of teaching for preachers to proclaim, or for teachers to give as a way of instruction? I don't think so. Although some have said that there's a rudimentary gospel, there's one set, and then there is the more in-depth, the deeper thing, and so you have two sets of teachings. It seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that there is just one doctrine, one set of teaching, and it depends on the mode as to how we teach it. I believe that the gospel is to be preached to everybody, the new converts as well as the older ones, the mature in Christ. But it depends on how that's presented, how that is taught. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, that he shunned not to declare the whole counsel of God. That was to everybody. We need to preach the word today, the whole counsel of God. But I would teach it a little bit differently to a babe in Christ than I would a mature person. Now let me give you an illustration or an example. The Bible has a great deal to say about God. In fact, the Bible says that God is spirit in John 4, 24. I teach that to everybody. But I would teach it deeper to one who had a greater knowledge and understanding of the scripture than I would one who had a shallow perception. He hasn't had time to delve into it more deeply. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is God, and I teach that to everybody. But depending on where they are in their spiritual development, as to how I would present it and how I would teach it. Now, he says to these at Corinth, "You are babes. You can't understand this, the deeper things. I haven't taught those to you yet because you haven't matured. You haven't developed." Now, somebody says, "Preacher, how does all of this tie in to what you began? Take heed how you build." Well, the church is made up of people. And we don't want, ladies and gentlemen, people in the church to remain spiritual babes. Certainly it's permissible initially, but all of us need to grow and to progress and develop in order to have solid material in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, he says that you be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So here's maturity. To stabilize members in the church, we need to take heed how we build. Preachers need to be careful as to how they instruct, how they build up the church numerically, that they have people who are taught and will become grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ. Take heed, he says, how do you build? Now, he also mentions here in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, here was this envy and strife, this division, partyism, as pointed out back here in chapter 1. And some were saying, I'm of Paul, some of Cephas, some of Apollos, and some of Christ. Now, because of that, you're carnal. You're acting like men in a worldly way instead of being spiritual and giving yourself wholly to the head of the church, namely Jesus Christ. Don't follow men. Now, who are men? Even Paul and Apollos. He said, well, I simply planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And he says, now he that planteth, well, let's back up verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I'm just a servant. I'm the one by which you were led to Jesus Christ, Paul said, but it's God that giveth the increase. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When we come to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to build after or on Christ. Develop the hearts and minds of individuals where they become mature persons in Jesus, rooted and grounded in truth. If we don't, we're going to get into trouble. And here is where it becomes the individual initiative. A person, as we sometimes say, this old adage, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And we can instruct, and we can preach, and we can feed, and the elders of the church can provide programs of teaching. And unless, my friend, each one of us has the ambition and the desire to learn the word of the Lord, we'll never learn it. 1 Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire, now listen to it, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Blessed Jesus said, are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we've got to have that intense hunger, are you listening to me? Intense hunger and thirst after righteousness. Brother, let me tell you something. Many of us have been in the church for years and still know nothing about the Word of God. It's a shame and a disgrace. We have become spiritual imbeciles, some of us, in the body of Christ. We know absolutely nothing about this book. We've heard and listened and listened and listened over a period of years, and we still can't open up this book and tell a man what he must do to be saved and even find the passage of Scripture. Now, there's no excuse for that, because the same people many times can learn codes, they can learn laws, in order to pass examinations, to be licensed for certain things, but they don't take the time to learn the Word of God, and there's no reason for it in the body of Christ. Now, take heed how we build in the church. Look at the existing conditions. They were immature, and They were carnal, and they were following preachers instead of listening or hearing to Jesus Christ. But another thing, brethren, as to why we should take heed how we build, and that is that all work will be tested. Now mark it down. Follow me now. Listen to me. All work will be tested. Beginning down here at verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation, obviously, is Jesus. When Paul went to Corinth, he preached Christ and preached the gospel. Every church must be built upon Christ, the solid foundation. But people who come into the church sometimes are not always committed and dedicated. Their faith doesn't increase. And in times of trials and temptations, they fall away. Now look at it. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now look at the material. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now what work is he speaking about? He's talking about converts. He's speaking to people who make up the church. And every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, in this audience, who are members of the Knollwood Church of Christ, or the body of Christ, is one or the other of this kind of material stated here. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. And I raise the question, what kind are you? Huh? What kind of material are you? Are you gold, silver, or stone? I mean the precious metal. Are you wood, hay, and stubble? Now, it's important as to which one we are. The reason is that we're going to be tried and tested by fire. Now, some commentators say that the fire here is the second coming of Christ. That might be so, but I'm inclined to agree with McKnight in his comments when he says it's talking about the tribulations and persecutions and difficulties that we have now. He says it's the same as over here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, where Peter says in that chapter concerning the fiery trials, listen to him, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter said that they were going to be tried. And I want to tell you, my friend, every one of us who's a member of the church, a New Testament Christian, is going to be tried to see what kind of metal, as we were, or material we're made out of. And some of us won't stand. Some of us will succumb. Some of us will yield. There are things that can happen in our lives that would be the downfall of us. That is, some of us in the church could fall away, quit, just like that. Oh, preacher, it won't happen to me, won't it? Huh? Now, don't be so sure about that. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. And I don't know what might occur, what might develop. But my friends, it could happen to any one of us that we'd fall away from the Lord and lose our soul eternally. There could be some big problem developed. There could be some trial that would come along and completely destroy us. It happened then, it can happen now. Now go back to the text. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That is, converts will be tried. The man's work, the converts that he's made, for the day, that is, of trial and persecution, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What's a reward? Satisfaction. That the people that he was instrumental in converting and bringing to Christ and teaching and trying to stabilize and rooted, persevere, remain loyal and steadfast. But he says, if any man's work shall be burned, that is through these trials, he shall suffer loss. The people that he spent all of that time of teaching and working with, and they fall away or led into digression, they shall be lost, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now let's say that the work that Paul did at Corinth went down the tubes, as we say. These philosophies influenced them to the place that they abandoned Jesus Christ. And they no longer walked in the faith. Paul would have been saved, but at the same time, he must be tested. And that's what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen to me. Let's take heed how we build in the church. If we don't bring people to Christ through truth, through the proclamation of the gospel, if they're not converted by an appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ and standing up on that which is right, then chances are that when the difficulties come along, they fall away. Take heed how we build. Let every man take heed how he builds. Why? Because his work is going to be tested and tried. Let's say we had a hot rod preacher, and he brought everybody into the church that he had any connection with or influence upon through his personality. And I've seen this happen, and you probably have too, where they their appeal was to the preacher instead of to the Lord. And they had a mushroom growth, and he was just the most wonderful thing in the world. But when he was removed from the scene, ladies and gentlemen, the church regressed, and the church dwindled because it was built upon the wrong thing. Now let me give you one more. Let every man take heed how you build thereupon. The third thing is, because down in verse 16 and 17, the future security of the temple depends on how a person builds. Now look at the text. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. What if you had people who didn't have a good knowledge of the Bible? Wouldn't they be easy, deceived, and led astray? And the temple would be defiled and corrupted and contaminated. Indeed it would. And he's talking about the church. He said, ye are the temple. Ye at Corinth are the temple. What happens if this temple is corrupted? The Bible says, him shall God destroy. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whether it be by corruption in doctrine or moral impurities, if the church of the Lord is led into those things, then the temple is contaminated, defiled, and becomes an abomination to God. And the Lord says that those individuals will be destroyed. Isn't that what the text says? And if I'm instrumental in leading people in that direction, God says, my soul will be condemned. And I want to tell you this evening that we need to take heed how the church is built, how that it's developed, or we can lose the whole thing. And that's what he's saying. Look at Corinth. Divisive, carnal, following men instead of the wisdom of God, and the whole church can be lost to truth and right. Now let's make some applications and then I'm going to quit. How should we build today, ladies and gentlemen? One thing is we need to build always by the authority of Jesus Christ. Has he sanctioned it? Has he approved it? If he hasn't, we need to leave it alone. And today, one of the things that departs from the minds of a lot of people is authority. Never question it. I like it. I enjoy it. And I'm going to have it. It's not whether the Lord said it or not. It's whether we want it or not. Whatever we do in word or deed, Colossians 3:17, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. All authority, our Lord said, have been given me in heaven and on earth. And whatever we speak, we need to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Whatever we believe, we need to believe based upon the Bible, as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And whatever we practice needs to be by thus saith the Lord. Are you listening? I'm telling you tonight, my friend, the great need in the religious world is what saith the Scripture. Where is the authority for? And unless the church is built upon the divine authority of Jesus Christ, it is profane and a stench in the very nostril of God Almighty, and He refuses to accept it. I don't care who we are, or how sincere we might be, or how dedicated, or how much sacrifice we make. If it doesn't have the authority of Christ behind it, it's wrong. And we need to learn it. I get sick and tired, and I'm sure you do too, of people out here saying, well, that's the way you see it. You go right ahead. I've got my way, and I'm satisfied with it. You're talking about friend of the devil. Is it in this book? Years ago, people had a respect for the Bible. And you differed on something religiously. They'd go to the Scriptures and search to see whether it's so or not. But not anymore. This book with a lot of people means nothing more than Sears and Roebuck catalog. It's, I've got it right here. I feel it right here. I'm satisfied with it. And subjectivism has supplanted objectivism. Thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible teach? We need authority, friend, in the church for everything we do. Isn't that right? Number two, let every man take heed how he builds. Build around Christ instead of men. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. The inspired apostle said, for we preach Christ, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. What did you say, Paul? We preach Christ and not ourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what needs to be preached today. Preach Jesus Christ and not ourselves. Look here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. Paul said, my speech, beginning with verse 4, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I'm not saying that we should treat a preacher like a machine. Certainly we should have a respect for what a preacher proclaims. But that doesn't mean that we are to accept it at face value. My preacher said this, that doesn't make it right. Now he might be right, but that doesn't necessarily make it right. Is it in the book? Is it in the book? Build around Christ and not around men. Listen, men will let you down. Men will betray you. Men will lie to you. Men will disappoint you. But Christ won't. And I don't care what happens to men. If our faith is in Christ, then come what may, we'll remain steadfast and loyal to truth, and that's what we need to do. Be Christ or nothing. I'm talking about humbly serving the Lord and glorying in the fact that we stand with Him. Glory in the cross and not in men or the wisdom of men. Thirdly, we need to build a church spiritually and not socially. So much social gospel has been adopted today. And churches can't do anything without drinking coffee and eating donuts. And I love to drink coffee and eat donuts. And I like to socialize. And brethren, we need to do more of it. All of us need to get together and go over here and you can buy me coffee right across the street at the church. No, really, truthfully, we need to get together more. I go to places and brethren after church, a group of them, whoever wants to go, will go to the restaurant and sit there and eat whatever they want to by it themselves and sit and converse and enjoy one another's company for a great period of time. We ought to do it at Knollwood. Or do it more than we're doing it. Instead of just soon amen said, talk a little bit and go home and never see one another again till Sunday or Wednesday night. But that isn't the way to build up the church. It's for the church to incorporate social activities and affairs. The way to build up the church is to preach the word. I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give an inheritance among them which are sanctified. That's the way to build up the church. Spiritually and not socially. I read in the book, 70 Years in Dixie, and every one of you ought to read it. It's written by old brother Shrigley years ago. They's talking about one of these annual, they called it a convention. Really, there weren't any delegates, people, members of church. Mostly preachers just got together to preach and study the Word of God, have seen, enjoy one another's fellowship. And here a young city so-called pastor, quote-unquote, got up. He was telling those people how to build up the church, and he was fashionably dressed from one of these modern cities. And he said, brethren, had a very fluent speech. He said the way to build up the church is to visit the homes, get acquainted with all the people, make day by day contacts with the brethren, talk with them, be in their homes. He said you need to be interested in the activities of the community and all the social affairs. And he went on along about how to build up the church from that aspect. And old brother Shrigley said after he got through, said a big old tall, lanky, country-fied looking fella got up with a nose that went down over his chin, it looked like, and said he hooked the forefinger of his right hand over the finger of his left hand and he began to speak. And he says the way to build up the church is to build up the material which makes up the church. He says, I tried this door-to-door visitation in one of these fashionable cities some years ago. And he said, I found one old sheep on the mountain of sin that had herded with the goats for so long that lost his fleece that he wasn't worth driving home. He says, if a preacher has to come down of the pulpit to employ all of these claptrap methods that's used out here in the sectarian world and make a regular pastor out of himself in order to get people to come to the house of God as he makes a visit day by day, week by week, in order to drive them in like a parcel of stray cattle, he says, let me tell you something. He says, we need to throw away the Bible and rent hell out for a cow pastor. Huh? He said, build up the minds, build up the hearts, build up the souls of individuals. We need a spiritual enlightenment in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That people will know the truth. And I want to tell you, brethren, love it and revere it. And on that they meditate day and night. That's the kind of people we need in the body of Christ. And we need people in the church that are spiritually minded, who like to talk about the Bible and like to talk about the church instead of everything else under the sun. Now, there's not any wrong of talking about secular matters. But brethren, there are too many of us in the church that never talk about the scriptures. Never talk about it. Our minds are always on the secular, always on this world, and never talk about some soul that we can save, or somebody that's weakening, and somebody that's falling away, and what the Apostle Paul or the Lord Jesus Christ say, and make those a part of our life. It's always about the secular things of life. We wonder why the church, in many places, is losing its drive, is losing its enthusiasm, because her minds have been captured, perhaps by other things. But hurriedly, my time is about gone. We need to build on holiness. Pure lives. People who understand what sanctification is. People who have clean hearts and pure lips. Individuals who are not involved or entangled in the worldly affairs in which we live in this old world, or among which we live. But I won't tell you, brethren, when we feed our minds with the filth that comes across the media, constantly filling our hearts with that, reading the magazines that are secular in nature, viewing with our eyes and hearing with our ears the picture shows that blaspheme the name of God, use every four-letter word in the book, how in the world can we develop holiness in our lives? It's beyond me. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Seeing we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Bible teaches that holiness, we need people who live pure lives. A man or a woman that goes out here to the bar and sits down and has a drink of whiskey is not manifesting the life of Jesus Christ, letting his light shine to influence others. He completely destroys any influence he might have. A person who engages in the risque jokes on the job, and he can listen and laugh at some of these dirty stories that are told, and hey, he can tell them just as badly as the others. He has no influence in the kingdom of God. An individual who takes off all of his clothes nearly, leaves on just about enough to wad a 20-gauge shotgun shell, has no influence in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, young people, when you go out here to the prom, to the discos, or wherever, and you shake and rattle and roll, and you go through all kinds of these licentious gyrations and indecent bodily movements, that's acting like a child of the devil, not like the child of the King that came and gave his life for you. We need to be holy people. The Lord's church is a holy church. We're to be holy as He is holy. And it's time that we stood up and lived right, that men and women in the world can see that what we profess is real and genuine in our hearts, rather than making a mockery out of it. I'm talking about people in the church all across this country. Thank God for those who stand up for truth and right. Those individuals who try to live above sin as much as humanly possible. Those who have their eyes set on Jesus Christ. Who try to develop that divine image in their lives. Those individuals who look at a man who's lost and say, I'd like to save him. And makes the efforts to bring him to Jesus Christ. Individuals who have a love and a desire in their hearts to convert people from the clutches of sin, the bondage of sin, and certain eternal ruination and damnation. Thank God for those in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, that every man take heed how he builds. upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, let's don't build brethren by lowering the standard either. Some churches have compromised truth. And preachers will never preach on some subjects because they got some members there that don't run away, don't want to run off. And so they sidestep that issue, don't you see? And I know churches that are filled up with lodge members who worship a false god. If you don't believe it, I'll prove it to you. Who worship a false god, and the Bible is nothing more than a symbol. It's not a divine revelation. Teach that you can go to heaven in it. And they sidestep that issue because we don't want to offend brother so-and-so or so-and-so on, so on, so on. Now, I grant us the right way to take care of some of these things. They may need to be dealt with privately at first. But then we can't lower the standard. We can't lower the standard. And I think we have in 1984, 85, in the 80s, in contrast to what was preached back yonder in the early 50s. I can remember, and I can take the articles that were written years ago and compare them with what is being preached today, and I see a lowering of the standard in some places of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One other thing, they quit. Build up the church by balanced preaching. That is, have both a positive and a negative approach. And we need to be careful as preachers that we don't always negate. That it isn't always in opposition to something. And brethren, I'll tell you what I've found. Is too many times we preachers are always skinning the other fellow. Instead of preaching the word, and let our hearts be inspired and our faith increased and our hope brightened by just what the Bible teaches. Now it's filled with both positive and negative preaching. But we can't convert people by just negative preaching. We got to get the weeds killed out all the time, yes. And plant and water, as Paul did in Apollos at Corinth. But we need to preach also a positive gospel. I've talked long enough tonight. But this chapter is filled with important information that's pertinent and relevant to the times in which we live. Let every man take heed how he builds upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. That people who are brought to the Lord are brought to Him and converted to Him. And they're taught and trained and developed. So they get to the place that they're mature and they can use the scriptures, exercising their faith, their senses to discern both good and evil, Hebrews 5 and verse 14. And there's an individual who is a child of God who has grown to be like Christ and living for Him day by day as He tabernacles here in the flesh. That's what we all should achieve for. Be they gold and silver and precious metals, precious stone in the body of Christ, and not the wood and the hay and stubble that can't stand the fire. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, as we sing this song of invitation, we want you to come and give Christ your heart. Jesus loves you. He wants you to be saved. He's inviting you to come and step out right now and obey the gospel. Will you do it tonight if you're subject to heaven's invitation while we stand and while we sing?
Bring Christ.